Morning Mix.
For sure.
Right now we have...
With that being said, we have our neighborhood news partner on the line, Mr. Matthew Martz. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Good morning, sir. Thanks so much for calling in to let us know what's going on in our community. We have Dennis over here as well, too. That's a part of the show with us today.
Good morning. Good morning, my brother.
Morning, Dennis. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I think you're a newbie. This is your first time on the Morning Mix, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That's correct. That's
okay.
Correct. I'm also kind of a newbie to NNS as well. I've only been working there for about, I guess it's been about 4 months now.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
Okay, well, welcome. Welcome to the Gospel Music Morning Mix, and congratulations on being over there at Neighborhood News Service. You guys are doing great work.
And mostly congratulations working next to Ron Smith over there.
But you're,
absolutely.
You know, you're connected to a great organization.
Yes.
So let's get into it on this morning. For those who don't know, Neighborhood News is our community partner, where they where they're out in the community daily doing capturing stories and capturing the interest of our community and making sure that they're reporting about various things that are happening throughout Milwaukee. We're fortunate that we have them call in biweekly to give an update on some of the stories that they're reporting on. And we have this brother in the studio this morning or on the line to give us an update. So let's talk about some of the stories that you're working on, brother.
Sure, sure. So I'm really kind of filling in a role right now as a health reporter for NNS. So I've been working a lot on coverage for the coronavirus recently. And what's really interesting about the coronavirus in terms of writing about it as a health reporter is that it kind of affects every facet of life. I feel like I kind of have to be ready to adapt and write a lot of different stories because this is affecting people's economic lives. This is affecting people's actual lives. It's affecting the way that we go about business every day, the way that we go about our lives every day, childcare, all kinds of different things. And I think it's really, really important to kind of keep that in mind. You know, a virus like this doesn't exist in a vacuum. And so that's kind of been reflected in our coverage. We've been writing a lot of different things, and it's not just me that covers this stuff either. But really, we've been covering this as something that started about in June, I think a little bit earlier, actually, in our coronavirus update every week. So I'll actually be writing up our coronavirus update for this week today. But basically what that entails is us keeping our fingers on the pulse of everything that's been going on around the state and around the city. Looking at it today, in the last couple of weeks, we've really seen an increase across the state, which has been making a lot of headlines, obviously. Right now, nationally, we're ranked pretty high for the last 2 weeks in terms of total cases per day. Yesterday, actually, we passed a new daily record. We had 3,747 cases in a single day, which broke the record. And really, I think it's important that we continue to kind of cover and talk about this stuff because I think it's really easy right now. When it was at the beginning of the pandemic, we had this kind of lockdown that kind of made things very clear to everybody. You're not supposed to go outside. You're not supposed to do stuff. Once we kind of started lifting some of the restrictions and things started kind of coming out again, people have kind of entered into this, like, I hesitate to use the word purgatory, but like, it's kind of this weird in-between state where people can go out and people can be in public spaces and interacting with each other safely. And right now we're seeing a potential end to that. We're seeing a potential kind of moving into, we might not be able to convene in public spaces as safely because of the fact that these cases are rising so rapidly. We're seeing hospitalization numbers go up across the state. We're seeing all kinds of different things in terms of what's actually going on with the coronavirus. And right now our numbers in Milwaukee County, thankfully, have not been as high as the ones that are going out around the state, but they're kind of starting to catch up a little bit. And that's something that a lot of the health officials have been pushing quite frequently. So, you know, at the end of the day, what we really try to do with the coronavirus update, though, rather than just giving people the information, is to contextualize it. So, for example, what I just said about the daily case numbers, if I just tell you 3,700 people had positive cases yesterday, that doesn't mean a whole lot on its own. It's a big number, but if you don't know the relative size of it, it could be a big number or a small number. You don't know. When I say that it's the highest number we've had throughout the entire pandemic, that kind of gives you an idea. we're trying to give people as much information as possible that they can actually use. We give people resources, let them know where they can get free masks, let them know where they can go get tested. The testing sites, for the record, too, just changed. So the National Guard is kind of moving out of Milwaukee right now to go into different parts of the state. They'll still be around, I believe, through November, helping out at some of these different sites. But right now, the city is actually taking over the testing sites for where the National Guard was, and they've moved it. They're not going to be testing at Custer Stadium or at UMass anymore. They're going to be testing at the Northwest Health Center, which is at 7630 West Mill Road, and the Southside Health Center, which is at 1639 South 23rd Street. And it's kind of, you know, moving those things away. And also Miller Park, I believe, next week will be opened up as a testing site as well. Mm-hmm. So it's all just kind of practical information like that. We're trying to keep people abreast of the stuff they need to be able to kind of go about their day safely. And we're kind of planning on doing some stuff with that, too. We got an election coming up, and we're going to be trying to probably write a story about how people can do that safely as well. I know it's tough to really convince yourself it's a good idea to go to a polling place where there's a lot of people there, but we're going to try and make sure that people feel as safe as possible and as confident as possible that they have the most up-to-date information to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's a lot of information, yeah, my brother, for people to digest and process. Also, you know, yeah, one of the things that I think people are concerned about is, you know, what is actually happening with COVID as far as, you know, post-COVID conditions, people who have contracted COVID, and they're saying that even though they may not be testing positive for COVID after they've gotten through it, they're still having some lingering effects on their health that they didn't foresee right now. Can you tell me anything about that?
Yeah. So I just saw, this isn't something I wrote, obviously, but there was an article in the New York Times that was talking about how certain people are having what they call COVID brain, where it really just has affected people's mental state, and they haven't been able to necessarily kind of get their full brain function back after it. Yeah. And that sounds kind of drastic, but essentially, yeah, what it is it makes your memory really hazy. It makes certain things that you do day to day really difficult. That's one of the newer ones that I've seen documented. But other than that, I know it's pretty serious in terms of stuff that you can kind of develop long term. You can develop permanent damage to your lungs, permanent damage to different organs. I think the lungs is probably the most prevalent of that, where people still have chronic conditions afterwards, and it can be really, really difficult. It's something that I think a lot of people don't consider when people talk about, you know, you have this huge survivability rate and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think people necessarily consider the fact that you're also possibly going to have a really, really bad problem for the rest of your life because of it too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that people take it seriously because of that, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head how common that is. Mm-hmm. I know it's something that's prevalent enough that it's been mentioned quite a bit.
Yeah.
In talking to different people. But it's, you know, it's serious, and it's something that people should keep in mind, because even if you're, you know, if you're my age, because I'm 22, if you're my age, mm-hmm, and you think you can get it and be fine, you might actually end up developing something later on, or exactly, you might end up for the rest of your life with something that's really, really serious. So mm-hmm, people should really be mindful of that.
And then too, Matt, just a sidebar as well, where the challenging effect comes in, where you're not able to, both the flu and the COVID, they develop the mm-hmm same symptoms. So that's another challenging factor as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And I actually wrote a story about that. I guess it's been almost 2 months ago now, talking to different health organizations about mm-hmm that, and kind of looking at that. And you're absolutely right. The symptoms are very, very similar, and mm-hmm it's going to probably lead to, according to them, they're expecting a potential increase in testing, yeah, which I think we have the bandwidth for. We've talked about that a lot with different health officials, that they're saying, you know, we are lucky in Milwaukee County to have the amount of tests available that we do. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few. We have a lot of different testing sites now, with Miller Park opening up too. But it's one of those things where really I think that kind of brings up an important point, which is something that's been pushed for the last couple of weeks at our coronavirus briefings, which is that everybody should try and get a flu shot this year, if you possibly can.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know there's different reasons why people don't want to get one, but really co-infection between those two diseases is possible, and it's very, very bad. I mean, it would be like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy here, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure there is one.
No, like a near-death experience, if you will. I mean, it's just unfortunate. Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And definitely. It's potentially a full-death experience. And it's something that I think, you know, the coronavirus vaccine isn't ready yet. We don't know what stage it's really at because there's a lot of conflicting information going on with it. And I know just from a little bit of personal research and experience that, you know, vaccines take a while to develop, especially safe vaccines. And we don't want to necessarily worry about that right now. But what we do have right now is a flu vaccine. So if you can prevent one, you might as well go out and try and prevent one, you know, because you really do want to avoid co-infection with this. But yeah, to your point, flu symptoms, very similar. And really, I think I'll echo what a lot of the health officials say during the coronavirus briefings here and say, if you have symptoms, get tested. If you've been in contact with somebody who's had the coronavirus, get tested. If you've been directed by your health, by a primary care health provider or somebody, a doctor that you see, anybody really, to go get a test, go get tested.
Yeah.
You know, what's really important is that people continue getting tested throughout this time too, especially with how much of it's spreading right now in Milwaukee County.
Okay. All right. So what else do you have trending? Did you have something else, Dennis?
No, I have quick question as well. So, you know, I think you mentioned co-infection, you know, and just to be clear, with what that means is that you're saying that people can contract the flu and the coronavirus at the same time.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're saying, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go right ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and speak.
I was just going to say, and like I said, I talked to Orel Williams from Ascension St. Joe's about this, and he said that would be a very, very bad combination of things to get, and that it could potentially lead to an increase of deaths in the county. So they wanted to avoid that as much as possible if they could.
So one of the things that, one of the things as well is that as we're seeing seeing the increase in COVID-19 cases, in the city of Milwaukee, in the county and throughout the state, I know that, they have prepared facilities at state fair, for the possible uptick or surge and coronavirus cases. Can you talk a little bit about that? Are we seeing those facilities or that facility starting to take people in, or what's happening with the status of that?
Yeah, so I know that facility opened this week. I think it actually officially opened either yesterday or Wednesday. I'm not 100% sure, but that's a 530-bed field hospital. As I know right now, the kind of purpose for that is going to be as a pressure valve for the hospitals if they start filling up. I think I heard that they were potentially going to start bringing people down from parts of the state where the hospitals are overwhelmed and start having them in the state fair hospital. But basically what it's going to be for Milwaukee County is if the hospitals start filling up again and if people start having worse and worse COVID conditions, what that field hospital is going to essentially be is a hospital where people can go if they have less severe COVID cases. So a hospital will transfer people who have a better chance of survivability, who won't necessarily need to be hooked up to a ventilator, who won't necessarily need to be given triage care right away, and take them to the state fair facility where they'll be kind of quarantined and isolated, but also receiving medical care and stuff like that. So that's 530 beds, like I said. State Fair Park is pretty huge. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't walked around there at all yet since they've built the field hospital, but I'd imagine that it's a pretty impressive facility. So yeah, that's kind of what I know in terms of how it'll be used. In terms of whether or not it's being used right this second, I would think so, because they opened it this week, but I'm not 100% sure, and I couldn't tell you how many people are already there.
Okay. And in the name of safety, you know, what is it that people need to continue to do to keep themselves safe in the name of COVID and what we're experiencing?
Yeah, you know, it's everybody always talks about the three W's, and I almost feel remiss in bringing it up right now, but the three W's: you got to wash your hands, wear a mask, and watch your distance, basically. So keep doing really good stuff with your hygiene. If you go out someplace, wash your hands, take a shower, even if you think that that's necessary. Wear a mask. Always try and wear a mask. Remember that it's not for you. The mask isn't for you. The mask is so that you don't get other people sick. So if everybody wears a mask, hopefully there's a lower transmission rate. Hopefully people can kind of wrap their heads around that, and watch your distance. So obviously the 6 foot physical distancing, if you're in the store, if you're somewhere else, if you're not wearing a mask, you should try and be as far away from somebody as possible, because the disease can be transmitted within 6 feet and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it's really important that people kind of take this seriously and be mindful of the things that they're doing. I know it's not easy to comply 100% of the time. I know it's not easy to wear a mask all the time. I know it's not easy to do a lot of these things all the time. But if everybody kind of just stops and thinks before they go outside and they think, how can I do this safely? How can I do this in a way that's not going to be a danger to myself or to the people that I'm living with or to anybody else? I feel like we could really make a pretty positive change in some of the numbers that we're seeing right now. And I think that, you know, part of that is if you're going to have gatherings and stuff like that, first of all, consider just not having gatherings. But at the same time, think about how you can do it safely. Think about doing stuff outside. I know that's not going to be realistic in a couple of weeks once November hits. But, you know, think about how you can do stuff in a way that's as safe as possible. Think about different ways that you can kind of protect yourself and other people from the virus. I feel like those are all really important things, and I think people are mindful enough about it that they just need to act on it, you know? So, yeah, and I mean, if you can kind of limit your social activity, don't do a ton of stuff outside of your social bubble. The bars can wait, honestly. They're going to be open when we come back, so.
Okay. All right, so if anyone want to check out your stories on your website, give us your website address, Matthew.
Yeah, absolutely. That's MilwaukeeNNS.org. We are currently running a couple of really good stories as well, if you guys want to find out more about it, including one about the Menominee Valley businesses that was written by my colleague Edgar Mendez, who's a rock star.
Yes.
We also have some about public housing that was written by my other colleague, Princess Byers. So check us out at MilwaukeeNNS.org. If you want to get the coronavirus update every Monday, check us out at MilwaukeeNNS.org, and we will be publishing that this Monday as well. So if you want the most up-to-date information, follow us on there.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, okay, and informing us, all right?
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. Take care. All right, y'all. Keep it locked in. 1560.